of our family members doesn't sound good, and then later you may retaliate with evil, and so you lead to even worse things. So ask God to keep you, because the Lord will eventually be victorious. Sometimes we are being provoked into anger, but this cannot accomplish God's work. The Bible tells us that the human anger cannot accomplish God's righteousness. So today, through our passage, let's look at the arrest of Jesus. And from here, let's understand the great work of God. And let's look at the Word of God. Chapter 18 of the book of John, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Kidron Valley is like a little river that was connected to the drainage system of the temple. So all the sacrifices in the temple, or the blood offerings and the intestines of the animals will flow down from that place. So before his arrest, our Lord Jesus walked past this valley. So during Passover, so many animals were being killed. And so this river itself is full of the blood of animals. And so this gives Jesus an image that very soon his own blood will have to be shedded for his people. And here it says, on the other side, there was an olive grove. And so this is a place that Jesus always went to. This is Gethsemane. That's the place where Jesus always prayed to God, and he brought his disciples to have quiet time and to sing praises of worship. And so in that place, what happened? Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place. He's very familiar because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So that was the most blessed place, the place where disciples gathered, the place where Jesus met his Father. And that is also the same place where Jesus was arrested. So why was the most blessed place? And is the place of the encounter of darkness. In fact, the place of trouble has the greatest blessing, because that is the most important thing. So when I was preaching in China, I was arrested. In the beginning, I was asking, why is that the case? Then I thought of Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. So in my heart, I knew. I do not hope that while I was sleeping, I'm arrested. But I hope that while I'm preaching, I'm arrested. And that place is full of God's grace. Last week, Henan Life Church was being arrested by the police. Now in China, situation is very tense. So after their church meeting, they are very joyful. Suddenly, the police came and arrested them all. And in the church, there's a lot of books, Christian books, and even furniture of the church, they were all confiscated. And they claim that all of you have been brainwashed by the overseas church. So they warn them, if you meet another time, you will go to jail. So they are all sisters. But God's grace was with them. Brethren in China, they often face such things. And And this week, many people wrote letters to us because the WeChat of our live church and missions, they were all being shut down by the Chinese government. So you cannot have our message. So why did God do such a thing? But every time when you hear such news, you need to be alert and you know. The harder it is for the gospel to reach, the more you need to evangelize. You need to understand that in such situations, God will accomplish greater things. So those of us who are being convicted by the Holy Spirit will be more zealous to spread the gospel. So among the Chinese, sometimes in America, in China, there's a lot of battles of ideologies. A lot of people keep looking at the newspapers and keep discussing politics, but in fact, everything happens for the purpose of the gospel. So when pandemic news arose, people just focus on that. Of course, we need to know all these things, but we need to know and spread the gospel to the ends of the world. So our Lord Jesus arrests, and that moment of his arrest, the place of his arrest, all are meant to tell all saints that throughout history, this is what saints will also encounter. Our Lord, he is our elder brother, so he first goes through the persecution, so that after that, we Christians across all generations, when we go through a little persecution in our heart, when we think about him, we'll be strengthened. So what our Lord is doing right now, he allowed himself to be handed over to enemies and sinners. Now, verse 3. So Judas came to the groove guiding a detachment of soldiers. So in Greek, the detachment of soldiers refers to a battalion of soldiers, about 600 soldiers. And then also the officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. So this group of people, one represents political power, the other represents religious power. Now, every country seems to have both of these political powers and military powers and also religious power. But in the persecution of Jesus, these two powers, they come together, united to arrest Jesus. So this represents the powers of the world. Although God also uses such power to protect the people of the world, but Satan also used such powers to persecute the Lord and the believers. No, we are not asking you to go for protests or riots, but you have to understand the spiritual meaning of the Bible. And so what did they take? They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. So they must have thought that it's not so easy to arrest Jesus. So maybe Jesus would have gone hiding in the cave, so they took torch and lanterns. But they didn't realize that the Lord is waiting for them. So here, very importantly, it tells us that Judas, he led this group of people, so many of them. And that tells us that Judas, after following Jesus for so long, he never knew our Lord Jesus. So what did Judas not know about Jesus? Now, Judas did not know Jesus' nature. Now, Jesus has been preaching about love and forgiveness and making the dead come to life, making the lame walk, making the sick heal. Now, this Lord, at this moment, will He stir up everyone to protest against those who wanted to arrest Him? Now, Judas had been hearing the message for 3.5 years, and he saw Jesus comforting everyone, but he didn't understand that, in fact, he only need to bring two or a few people. He need not bring such a huge number of people. And what else did Judas not understand or not know? He did not know the power of Jesus, the power to calm the storm. Now, can just merely a few hundred people arrest Jesus if it's not for Jesus Himself willingly handed Himself to sinners? It wouldn't happen. So when all these records were made, we understand. Some people, they were like Judas. For their whole life, they had been in the church, but yet they did not know Jesus. So sometimes we do not understand. Of course, sometimes we cannot do it. You have to understand that our Lord Jesus revealed Himself in the Bible. He was the Word who became flesh. And when we read the Bible, we know how can we face our crisis also. And now verse 4. Jesus knew all that was going to happen to Him. So our Lord Jesus will not be shocked. And so He went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" So I can think of two reasons. He wants to make their focus all on them, because He said, "Here am I." He wanted to protect His disciples. Because so many hundreds of them came, they surely wanted to arrest both Jesus and His disciples. And then Jesus asked, "Who is it you want? So He wanted them to reveal their evil intention. Now, it's not recorded here, but we knew that Judas kissed Jesus as a sign to those who are arresting Jesus. So he used a kiss of friendship to arrest the Lord Jesus. So what did our Lord Jesus say? I mean, they replied, "Jesus of Nazareth." So back then, the way they address is they will mention the place as well as the person's name. So Jesus of Nazareth, because He grew up in Nazareth. Because back then, there's a lot of people by the name of Jesus, maybe, or same name. But so, if you are really respectful of God anyway, you wouldn't name your child Jesus. So Jesus said, "I am He." And so this is very important. Jesus said, "I am He." So in Greek, it's ego eimi. So by right is I am. I am the one. I am. Now this I am is a theme in the whole book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep pen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, I am. Who are you looking for? I am. So our Lord Jesus, the way he replied. Eventually, he wants to also reveal his divinity, his real identity. So if you recall in the Old Testament, when God introduced himself to Moses, he said, "I am who I am." So the book of John continues to extend the theme of I am. So verse 5. And Jesus, when Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Why? Only the book of John recorded this. This is something very amazing. Now those soldiers with sword, they suddenly also fell to the ground. We also do not know why. But my guess is, when our Lord said, "I am," when he proclaimed his divine identity for a moment, the power of his words was being manifested. So even the soldiers with swords, they also suddenly fell to the ground. So when our Lord said this, he manifested his divine power. And that is above all the power of military and human. And so that tells us that if it is not he himself who wanted to hand himself over, no one can arrest him. Now, sometimes when people see this, the charismatics, they are very excited. You know, when you lay hands, people just fell. So do not anyhow imitate, because certain things of Jesus you shouldn't be imitating, certain things you should imitate. So when our Lord Jesus did this, each of these records, our Lord can manifest such power. Do you think that this power upon the human Jesus, how did he manifest such power? It is through his humility, his self-sacrificing ways, and so he manifest the heavenly power. So Jesus, he was born humbly in the manger. He humbly took the form of human, and then angels appeared to profess his appearance. So our Lord Jesus also humbly accepted the baptism of John the Baptist. So Jesus said, in order to fulfill all righteousness, so he went through the baptism, and after that, a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm pleased." So our Lord Jesus humbly took the form of humanity, and before the grave of Lazarus, he didn't just say, "Oh, where's Lazarus?" He first wept and revealed his humanity. Usually when we cry, it represents our inability. So when Jesus revealed his humility, he made Lazarus come to life, and he overpowered death. So the whole book of Gospel mentioned about his humility. Now he also wanted to handle himself to his enemies. So humbly, he allowed himself to be led to slaughter and be nailed to the cross, and he overcome sin and death. And why did the Lord want to do this? The reason why the Lord did this is to tell us that even our Lord, he came in flesh and he took on the form of humanity, he completely handed himself into the hands of Father God. And as a result, the power of God is with him, so that no one of us can fulfill God's work by our own strength. Now, this is a mystery. This is also what we need to learn in our faith living for the whole life. For our whole life, we trust in our wisdom, our will, in our ability. We can obey God, and then actually the next moment, we may fall. Just like Peter, you know, denying Christ 3 times. So Jesus said, I'm here. Come, arrest me. Now verse 7. Our Lord asked again, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And so Jesus asked again in order to hand himself to them. And I told you that I am he, Jesus answered. Jesus said, if you are looking for me, then let this man go. Now, Jesus is not begging them, but he's replying them in authority. I am here. I've handed myself to you. Let them go. Let my disciples go. So our Lord Jesus is indeed the Lord who have given up his life for his sheep. Even at this moment, he didn't leave those whom he loved. He sacrificed himself to protect his sheep. This is the heart of the shepherd. Perhaps the disciples didn't realize, but after that, as the disciples recorded the Bible, then Holy Spirit reminded them and they remembered. Even the dialogue. That in fact, everything that the Lord said and do, what's the meaning behind those? And then verse 9, this happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I've not lost one of those you gave me. Dear brothers and sisters, John chapter 17 verse 12, Jesus said, when I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. So indeed, our Lord fulfilled his words, and he protected his sheep. Even at the darkest moment, he didn't leave his sheep. So he really had a heart of shepherd. Now usually we humans, we are like this. We have the power to protect people, but we do not love people. For example, as boss, as superior, you should protect your subordinates. You have the power. And or sometimes you really want to love others, but you cannot protect them. You have no power to protect them. Like you really love your children, but you yourself is limited. Or sometimes you yourself, you are ill and you cannot do certain things. So we humans, we are limited in this sense. Only God, at the most critical moments, he sacrificed himself. But at the same time, he also had the authority to protect those who belong to him. So this is the power of God. We must know how to submit to God and humble ourselves. Then this kind of power can come through our prayers and our heart. Sometimes toward those whom we love, we didn't pray with such perspective, and we are very anxious and fearful, and we keep seeking grace, and we always cannot see. But if we truly love the Church of God and the sheep of God, sometimes we know we are limited. Even us as pastors or cell group leaders, we all know we are limited. But your heart loves the sheep whom God has entrusted to you, and you pray for them. Even if you yourself have difficulties, do not love yourself, but you commit your difficulty to God. If there are certain things in the family, commit to the Lord. Take care of God's sheep feed them, and you will see how God will help you. Sometimes in crisis, what we do will impress deeply upon the hearts of the sheep. Now, verse 10, let's read together. Verse 8, I told you that I am He, Jesus answered. If you are looking for me, then let this man go. This happened so that the words he has spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. And then another scene appeared. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant. So only in the book of John, it was recorded that the person who drew the sword was Peter. Only John named this person. So Peter drew a sword and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now we knew why the disciples carried sword. Now some people say maybe the disciples were always anxious because in the mission trip they may have gone through wilderness and there could be robbers, so they brought the sword. But in the book of Luke, you will see that in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, during the Last Supper, Jesus said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your clothes and buy one." So why did Lord Jesus ask them to sell the clothes and buy sword? It is written, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And I tell you, so he's talking about himself. He will be called a sinner for the sake of everyone. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. So when the disciples heard this, they said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That is enough," he replied. In fact, our Lord Jesus got a purse and sword to protect himself and protect him or protect them. No, that's not Jesus' point. Actually, what Jesus is saying is darkness is looming. So you need to have a heart of battle. Now, they have been with the Lord for 3.5 years. Is the Lord really asking them to buy sword? What Jesus is saying is you need to be alert because darkness is looming. Otherwise, you will be shaken, you will fall. You are battling against the prince of darkness and he is going to scare your heart. If your heart is not prepared for battle, then you will be shaken. So it's not this physical sword, but your heart. Of course, the disciples do not understand Jesus' word because only Jesus knew at that point in time. And so Peter, he took the sword and cut off Malchus' ear. And so this scene can make us reflect a lot. When we read this, it's as if Peter was very brave at this moment. In front of so many hundreds of soldiers, he did this. But in fact, he's not courageous. First of all, you asked. Why did Peter not attack a soldier, but the servant of a high priest without any arms? So this is not a brave act or heart. Now, if you can cut off a person's ear, that means... So how can he be so accurate to cut off a person's ear? So surely Peter most likely have attacked the servant from behind him. That's why he can cut his ear So his action is not courageous. It's not that Peter was bold, but he's full of impulses and flesh. And Malchus, we do not know much about him. But this name was recorded in history. So later on, after Jesus was resurrected, he became a Christian. Because Jesus healed Malchus on the spot. And Jesus commanded Peter, put away your sword away. Because if you use your sword, you will die by the sword. And then verse 11, Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? What cup? What cup is that? That is the cup of God's wrath against sinners. And all will be poured into this cup to be drunk by our Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. So, eventually, let's think about our Lord Jesus and Peter. Of course, one is man and one is God. Our Lord Jesus, he had his humanity. And now his apostle, Peter, we know that very quickly, Peter will deny Christ 3 times. Now, when you read today's passage, have you thought of why Peter had this courage to take out his sword right now in front of so many soldiers? And then he cut off the ear of the servant. But later on, very quickly, he was following Jesus to where the chief priests are. And 3 very ordinary person. One is just a servant girl and said that you are the one following Jesus, and he quickly denied, saying no. So at that moment, he did not have the courage to confess that he was a follower of Christ. So what does this tell us? When you are being provoked into flesh, sometimes it seems as if you are very brave. You can do certain things, but you have to know that is not done under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When your flesh is being provoked, sometimes you can do things unimaginable. It appears to be bold, but in fact, you are not being filled by the Holy Spirit in doing that. And that's why, in the simplest things, when you want to testify for Christ, when you need to confess your faith, you cannot do that instead. So sometimes I can tell you, when we are being provoked, we may be courageous for a moment. You know, we say we can die for you, God, and we can scold people and rebuke people. When we serve, we can serve with earnestness. But one day, when you go back to your office and face your non-believer colleagues, and they told you they have family problems, you cannot even evangelize to them. So I tell you, human emotions can suddenly be provoked by environment and by human words. So I am not criticizing other sermons, but I want to point out that many sermons right now are provoking your heart to serve the Lord, to do this and that for God. But the moment you are hurt in the church, you immediately left the church and people won't see you anymore. So many Christians do not know what they are believing. They are just stirred by human words. Whether it's words of encouragement or provocation, but I need to tell you that flesh cannot accomplish God's work. When the real thing happens, and you need to sacrifice everything, put down everything to follow God and to do a simple testimony for God. You may not even be able to do it. What you are provoked into doing does not come from your understanding of Christ. And that's why I ask all of you, as you hear the word of God, please confirm God's word carefully and understand who is this Lord whom you know. How did he submit to Father God, and how do you also know him and submit to him? And you humbly know your own limitations and helplessness, and so you always rely on the grace of God. And after experiencing this for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, then you will realize that whether you are serving God, do it, or whether you are loving people or loving God, you are very firm and steadfast. And you are not just provoked into serving by flesh, but you love God, love men, you understand God's will, and then you do it out. And you can do it in church, in your living fields, whether it's in your family or work, you can also do the same. You can love people in the church, go back home, you can also love your family members. So you're not just being provoked. Even worship songs also not meant to just stir up human emotions. The hymns that we sang, every lyrics, every word, quality hymns will write our faith into music, so that the more we sing, the more we are closer to this God. And so with this life, we depart from the church and we testify for God. It's not just to get an emotional stir up. So from the flesh of Peter, you will know that many a times we are just being stirred emotionally. At least you need to realize this. How do you realize this? That is when you realize that you cannot withstand test. Now our Lord showed us his example, that while he suffered and during his arrest, what does this tell us? Jesus said, Can I not drink the cup the Father gave me? This is so touching. Now sometimes we criticize Judas for betraying Jesus or the soldiers for arresting Jesus. But more correctly speaking, if Father God does not permit, who can arrest Jesus and place him on the cross? So when we suffered, we will blame people and environment. Now sometimes being Christians for so long, we still think we are unlucky. Where got unlucky things? Unless you do not believe that God is in control. Now sometimes Christians say that I'm so lucky. Do not say you're lucky. We do not believe in luck. We only believe in God's blessing. And even when bad things happen, these are also permitted by God. So we need to change our beliefs. We need to live perfectly, completely before God. And we understand that if not for God's permission, this thing won't happen. If God permits, he can bring me to a predicament, or he can bring me into prosperity. So anyone who understands God and his people in this way, they are indeed blessed. So Jesus said, shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me? So this message is easy to understand but difficult to submit. So later, as we partake the Holy Communion, may God help us with his heavenly grace. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you today that through your arrest, although in this 11 verses of account, there is profound mystery, your humble nature, your love for the sheep are all revealed in this passage. Lord, as we hear this message, we know that nothing, even though the world are afraid of many things, and we are always lamenting in our problem. But from this passage, we know that you going to the cross tells us that everything is in the hand of Father God. When God permits, He also loves us. Whatever He permits will work for the good. So for those who love Father God and the Lord, Lord, Your plans for us is peace, and so that we can have hope, so that we can truly trust you and rely on You. Lord, we thank You. Lord, in our Holy Communion, please continue to bestow grace on us, draw near to us, strengthen our weak hearts. Lord, we thank You and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.